Welcome to another episode of our special series where we discuss key approaches in history. I am Bro, and this is Podcast, Conversations in Philippine History, Politics, and Society. Today's segment is about the trending global history. I say trending dahil isa ang global history sa mga usong approaches sa kasalukuyan na para sa marami ay isang malaking turning point sa pagsusulat ng kasaysayan ng daigdig. Kaya tara, simulan na natin to. In our previous episodes, we mentioned how history tends to emphasize the roles played by nation-states and the dominating influence of Europeans, especially the whites, in the writing of historical past. And this includes the grand history of humanity. As the world becomes more interconnected through globalization and the communication revolution that started in the 1990s, the growth of knowledge about the whole humanity exposed a rather complex and sophisticated interactions of people. Recent studies shifted from national histories and Eurocentric approaches to more inclusive and accepting narratives. In addition, the increasing interest in issues such as migration, colonialism, and trade that emphasized connections between countries later broke the idea of a container-based paradigm of national histories, including the area studies. These changes also gave way to the so-called colonized people, a chance to share their views and contribute to the writing of world history. Pero teka lang, ano nga ba ang pinagkaiba ng global history sa world history? Pareho lang ba sila? Apparently, hindi. One of the first attempts to differentiate world and global history was made by Bruce Mashlish in his article Comparing Global History to World History. He claims that linguistically, world and global history are entirely different. The former is mostly polysemic and divisible, gaya ng old and new worlds, first, second, and third world, at iba pa. While the latter, which is global history, means spherical and rounded. That implies an indivisible whole. Let's first define what world history is. For Diego Olsen, through his book Thinking History Globally, and I quote, "World history adopts the world as its ultimate unit of analysis and looks for phenomena that had an impact on humanity as a whole." End of quote. Kabilang sa mga topics na sakop nito ay ang climate change, environmental issues, pandemics, or any processes that brought societies into contact, either through migration, conquest, cultural diffusion, at iba pa. Or any processes that happened before the world became interconnected through globalization. Ilan sa mga kilalang authors ng world history ay sila William McNeill, author ng A World History at Rise of the West, Fernand Braudel, author ng The Mediterranean World in the Age of Philip II, at Immanuel Wallerstein, author ng The Modern World System. So these works emphasize the understanding of systematic processes and the patterns that affect diverse populations. The approach of world history, however, remains under scrutiny as questions about its depth, especially in its analysis, given that one person cannot learn all the languages, much more cannot search all the archives in the world, beg the question, how can one tell the story of a world history professionally? Perhaps global history was conceptualized to address such questions, and also offer an alternative approach to the writing of history. On the other hand, Allstein defines global history as an approach that, I quote, adopts to the interconnected world created by the process of globalization as its largest unit of analysis, providing the ultimate context for the analysis of any historical entity, phenomenon, or process. End of quote. Such a definition is shared by Machlis as he describes global history as the study of contemporary history as a singular temporal unit with very unique characteristics. In other words, globalization serves as the demarcation line between world and global history. Global history, like intellectual and economic history, does not have to cover or encompass the entire globe. What makes global history distinct is its emphasis on the writing of history of demarcated spaces, but with an awareness of global connections and structural conditions. So what are the key qualities of global history? In his book, Global History, Sebastian Conrad characterizes the field into three different varieties or approaches. First, some global historians explore the history of everything, or what has happened worldwide. These historians write an all-in version of the past through a large-scale synthesis to capture the global reality of a specific period. Some notable examples are Jürgen Sosterhammel's The Transformation of the World, A Global History of the 19th Century, and Christopher Bailey's The Birth of Modern World, 1780 to 1914. For Conrad, the rise of such an approach serves as a response to the national history's dominance in many universities worldwide. Second, which serves as the most popular approach for many global historians in recent years, is the emphasis on global connections or entanglements, which implies that no society or nation, even civilizations, exist in isolation. Here, historians have tons of topics to cover, including people and ideas on the move, trade practices across distances that highlight interconnectedness of regions. So, topics such as trade in the Mediterranean, migrations across Southeast Asia, and diplomatic missions to many parts of the world belong to this category. Some notable works in this approach include Akira Irie's book entitled China and Japan in a Global Setting, and Donald Wright's The World in a Very Small Place in Africa. Lastly, which is the more sophisticated approach according to Conrad, are studies that based on the concept of integrations. A good example of this would be the work of Christopher Hill about the emergence of modern history writing in France, the United States, and Japan in the 19th century. In his work, he places all three nations in the context of domestic changes and global transformations. As these societies faced internal upheavals, they were enmeshed in capitalism's fundamental restricting of world order and the imperialist state system. For Conrad, this approach shows that history writing serves to conceptualize the different positions about global conditions that shape the historical narratives of each nation. In the Philippines, global history has also taken roots in the works of Filipino scholars. As early as 1999, Benito Legarda, in his book After the Galleons, examined Philippine foreign trade in the 19th century as it traced the relationship between the Philippines and its major trading partners, namely Britain, the US, and China, and highlighted the minor part played by Spain. Some chapters of Filomeno Aguilar's Migration Revolution, Philippine Nationhood, and Class Relations in a Globalized Age examined how Filipino migrants face various challenges to their identity and citizenship in nations such as the US, the tiger economies of Asia, and also the Middle East. Recently published was Nicole Aboitis's Asian Place, Filipino Nation, A Global Intellectual History of the Philippine Revolution, 1887 to 1912. In this book, she revisited the connection of the Philippines to the histories of Southeast and East Asia. Such re-examination, for instance, of the Philippine Revolution of 1898 may change how the subject is being taught at secondary and tertiary levels. While the rise of global history serves as a welcoming development in the academe, there are still some institutional obstacles, such as the need for more programs that focus on global history, and also the need for more experts. Overcoming such challenges can help harness the growth of this new and promising approach in the field of history. And that's it for today's episode. Continue listening to our podcast through social networking sites such as Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and even LinkedIn. Also, don't forget to subscribe and follow. For more information on the show, visit our website, podcast.org. We're also open to feedback, so don't hesitate to message us if you have any recommendations and suggestions. See you next week, and have a good day.